And here, Sha'amar al Iske Yishbi Binoiv. And what is this? I'm going to read to you a very, very elaborate medrash. You don't have it in front of you, so I'm going to read, I have to read it for you. But what is Nishbi Binoiv? Shaba Allah al Ainsha Shal Sha'ol, which came.
What is it? Shigaon means I made a mistake.
Yes. The word Shigaon, according to Rabbi, it's similar. It's I made a mistake, but the mistake that I made was I made the wrong choice. I'm going to read to you a whole story. It's not in the Gemara. It's not in the Pesukim. About two through Pesukim. I know. I'm going to read the Pesukim. The Pesukim. It's the Gemara. It's a Gemara. I think it's a Gemara. I'll have the story to see. I have it right now. I'm going to read to you in a second the whole story, all the inside information. All it says in the pasuk in Sefer Shmuel. Is mamish 3-4 pesukim is the whole thing, and if you don't know the story behind it, it's impossible to understand what Rashi here is saying. It's all chazal, and what it basically is that Hashem gave David a choice, and it's very very hard to understand what the Gemara is saying. Hashem gave David, you are the cause of the death of so many people dying and suffering. You are the catalyst. Even though you're innocent, that you're going to argue in court of law, I did nothing wrong. The bottom line is, your name is all over the place. Wherever you turn, you were there. You were the cause of this entire event, and therefore there are consequences. And I'm giving you a choice. And this itself is a very bizarre thing. Hashem gives a person a choice. How do you want to be punished? You have this a couple of times with God. Hashem doesn't give us choices. It is what it is. That's life is what it is. A person, he does an Aveir Rachman Utslan, and then you find yourself 20 years later, if you try to connect the dots, this is the way it is. Hashem says, Dov, you made a mistake, you have to be punished. You know what? I'll give you a choice. You have this by Aaron Levy. What?
Yes. Shlomo also was given the choice, whether you want.
Oh, Chacham, excellent. Shlomo was given the reward, as a choice for a reward.
But I'm just
going to
go where you're
at. Avraham Avinu, Hashem says, do you want for your children Gehenna? They should go to Gehenna, or they should go to. Help me. What was the choice? Golus.
Yeah, it's at the Brisbane of Sarit.
So you want Golus or Gehenna? What else? Was it another choice? Only those two.
It was those two.
Yeah.
And Abraham agonized over it the whole day, where he made
the wrong decision.
He made the wrong decision.
They should go to Gehenna.
Which one opinion on this matter says. That impossible. He couldn't have done this. So finally, Hashem had to make the choice for him.
Hashem made the wrong decision. Let me help you change your mind. Make the so why didn't Hashem give him a choice? Hashem gave him a choice, and David made the
decision. Because he wasn't guilty.
David, Hashem said, either your children will go to Gehenna, or they can go to Golus. As Rav Michal said, Avraham Avinu agonized over this, and he came to the conclusion: better go to Gehenna than go to Golus. Gehenna is better than Golus.
Is it?
Whatever this, these are very deep things.
We heard about Gehenna, pain and agony and heat.
The fires of Gehenna are 60 times.
All the Avirus get burnt out, and you become
60 times the fire in this world. So what does it mean exactly? But on the other hand.
In a sense, if you think about it, Mitzrayim is the Kur HaBarzel as well.
It's also firing in Egypt. Look, 4/5 of the Jewish people didn't survive Golus. V'chamushim olu bnei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim. It's what it says in Rashi in Chumash. 4/5. It's a shocking thing to hear that only 1/5 of the Jewish people survived in Mitzrayim. So, and the Golus, that was Golus. So what do you want? Do you want your children to go to Golus, or do you want your children to go to Gehenna?
If I may, they're both Mechaper. Golus is Mechaper,
okay.
And Gehenna also is Mechaper.
But if you don't survive, the Kapara is not going to help you. It's very good to have Kapara. I've been atoned. But for what? What do you have left? There's nothing left.
Right. What happens?
It's like if you go to court, you have a fight with your friend, either you can make a compromise now and you'll walk out of the desert today with $1 million, or you'll go to court and fight it out for 10 years and you'll win and you'll have choyvos for the lawyer's fees. So what do you have when the day is over? I won, the hanah of winning, but 10 years of agonis nefesh, and you're not speaking terms with 100 people, and you owe money. not only do you walk out with zero because all the money went for the lawyer fees, you owe money. You have chayvas. So is that called winning?
So how is this boiled down to Golus and Gehenna?
Golus, even though Golus, 4/5 of the Jewish people didn't survive. Okay. They assimilated. They're gone.
So maybe
it's better that they should go to Gehenna. Because in Gehenna, at least their neshamas are Gehenna. Chazal tells Gehenna is a privilege. It's zuchus to go to Gehenna. Gehenna is a rehabilitation center. Many, according to Chazal, many people don't go to Gehenna. They're not worthy.
Right.
Their neshamas, they're not.
That's
able.
That's what Sheol is.
Whatever this is, yeah. Gehenna is a rehabilitation center, and when Gehenna is over, a person enters the Olam HaMitzchi. But not every neshama has the merit to even go through the process. It's like Harvard. To get into Gehenna, it's like getting into Harvard. You have to have full. You have to have zechusin to get into Gehenna.
The goal is to send 4/5, but 1/5 is not going into goal. So. It's not really a choice.
Okay. I'm just saying words. I obviously don't know what I'm saying. I'm just saying all these hocus pocus things.
I'm just saying to modify what I said earlier. The choice was between Gehenna and Shibud Malkuyos.
Okay,
that was the choice. Not Mitzrayim.
Per se, but in general, two Malkuyos. Yeah. And David took Gehenna. Avraham took Gehenna. He chose.
Yeah.
And Hashem says, Avraham, trust me. That's not a good choice. Better take Shibud Malchios than taking Gehenna. Listen, these are words. I don't know what these words mean, but I'm just trying to bring out a point. Is that it's very interesting that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to select individuals, gave them choices. They gave them choices. There's going to be a problem. I'm giving you a choice. What to do?
Yeah, but I still think if it boils down to. You know, you have what's the choice? Different ways of being machaka.
Okay.
You can be
machaka
with Gehenna, you can be machaka with Golis.
Okay.
Which do you choose?
And there's a trade-off. They're not the same. Right. These are very mystical things. We don't really know the pros and cons of each one. And
that's
obviously,
one of the reasons we go out to a sukkah, they say, is
Golis
is the machaka. Go out to the sukkah.
Right.
When David comes to Bnei Israel, it says, again, they were supposed to be punished. So he said, Vayomer David Gad,
Nipna
Biyad Hashem, Biyad Adam Al Pola. It's better to be punished by a Kadosh Baruch Hu than...
That was a good choice. That was a good choice, right? That's another, Rav Kalman is mentioning, well, Tachman. The first pasuk of Tachman is where there was a dever. David made a mistake and he counted the Jewish people. He counted. Something which Chazal say, even a child knows that you're not allowed to count the Shomers. We don't count people. David took the census of the Jewish people, and it was a grave error, and in punishment people started to die. So David, Hashem says, how are we going to put an end to this? So David, Hashem gave David a number of choices of how we can put an end to this. I'm sorry, Hashem, you made a mistake. You made it in Naver. We have to bring a punishment. And Hashem gave David different choices of what we can do. And one of the, I don't remember the details of the Gemara, but one of the choices was there'll be a debtor, people will die. So David says that choice is the best because ultimately Hashem will have Rachmanis. Hashem will have Rachmanis. And indeed, the debtor stopped right away, it stopped pretty quickly. And had David selected the other options, it would have been much worse. Okay, I don't remember the details, but there is another excellent example of where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where a person did an Avera, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving him a choice of how he will be punished. You have a choice. You have A, B, and C. It's a very novel concept, such a thing, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a person a choice of how he should be punished. Now here, early in David's career, David was instrumental in causing death and suffering to many people. The Pesukim of Yishvi Benov immediately followed the story of the Givonim, as I mentioned yesterday in great detail, where Noiv, Ir, HaKoyhanim were all wiped out by Shaul, and then the Givonim they no longer had Parnasa. They were the supporting for non-Jews. They were the support system for Noiv, Ir, HaKoyhanim. And they had a major complaint against the Jewish people, and people started dying. And David consulted with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he said it's because of what happened of Noiv Yerachayanim. And David contacted the Gevoinim and they wanted revenge. They wanted the remaining children of Shaul should be delivered to them and they should be executed and hung on a tree. And David complied. Shock, right? How does all that work? But that's what it says. And then immediately thereafter, there was a milchama. And the milchama, David went to the milchama, and it was a person by the name of Yishbi bin Noiv. Yishbi bin Noiv was Goliath's brother. Who was their mother? Arpah, the sister-in-law of Rus Hamoaviah. Rus, she remained with Naomi, and Arpah said goodbye. Arpah had a couple of children, Goliath, and Yishbi, his name was Yishbi bin Noiv. And Yishbi went to Muhammad, and Yishbi bin Noiv conquered David. Yishbi bin Noiv basically took David as a prisoner and was just about ready to kill him. And Avishai just happened to be going to the palace that day, and he said, "Where's David? I want to talk to him." "I don't know, he's not here today. I don't know, he went out on vacation." And Avishai said, "Something is not right. Something is not right." And he went out to go check out, and lo and behold, he found that David was just about ready to be killed. What did Yishbi bin Noiv do? He took a sword, and he thrust it into the ground upside down, and he took David, and he threw him up, and David was just about ready to come down and be pierced by the sword. That was that he was already in the air when Avishai shows up. And Avishai gives one look, and he sees, in a few seconds, it's all over David. So Avishai says the Shem Hashem, and David remains suspended in Shemayim. The Gemara asks the question, why couldn't David say the Shem Hashem? Ein chavush mater atzma mideisot. Even in this principle, even in this matzah, if David would have said the Shem Hashem, according to Chazal, it wouldn't have worked. Unbelievable, because he's the chavush. And while David was suspended in Shemayim, they had a conversation. and he said to him, "David, how did you get here? I mean, I just came at a moment's notice, and he's still flying in Shemayim. David, what's going on here?" So David says to him, "Hashem came to me, and Hashem said to me, you know, David, there's a complaint against you in Shemayim. You have a lot of blood on your hands. You were the cause of the death of Shaul. You are the cause of the death of his children. You're the cause of the death of Doeg HaDoeg. You're the cause of the death of Noiv Ir HaKohanim. And you're also the cause of these Goyim have no parnasa. Someone doesn't have parnasa. That's, like I told you yesterday, it's a serious..." Sentence. What?
The death sentence.
The death sentence. And that's serious business. So Hashem says, "So Doeg, what do I do? What do I do? I just walk across the street. Just because all these things happen because of me. I didn't do it. It's not a premeditated murder. You know, what do you want from me? It's not my fault." So Hashem says, "Nevertheless, you were the cause, and you have to be punished, but I'll tell you what, I give you a choice. Either you will be delivered," it doesn't say that he'll die, David, "you will be delivered in the hands of your enemy." Who is your enemy? Anyone, there's a lot of enemies, okay? Right? Your enemy, plenty of enemies out there. Or, you know what, you live a good life, but your children, they're going to yichlu zaracha, which simply means your children will come to an end. Your descendants will cease to exist. So David was a very good father. There's a lot to learn from this Gemara. David said, "The children are the ikar. I'll take it. I'll suffer for my children. Better let my children, my descendants, live and thrive, and I'm ready to die to go al kiddush Hashem." Hashem said, "Fine." And lo and behold, there was a milchama. There was a milchama. David went out to war. Yishbi bin Noiv somehow was able to overpower David. He grabbed him. He took him hostage. And he interrogated him. And now he's done. He's about to kill David. And Avishai, one of David's warriors, his nephew shows up. "What's going on here?" So he says, "Listen, just say the Shem Hashem again and let me fall and die. This is part of the deal I made with Hashem." So they had a conversation, and in this conversation, Avishai convinced David you made a mistake. You made the wrong decision. Hashem over here is not the one telling David you made the wrong decision. It was Avishai who told David you made, and now it's very interesting, the words of the Gemara are, better let your children sell wax, and you should live. So in other words, what he's saying over here is, when Hashem said your children are going to yichel zar acha, your children will cease to exist. It doesn't mean they're going to die. It means they'll be poor. Similar to Yaakov Avinu. Eliphaz, Esav told Eliphaz, you have to kill Yaakov. So Eliphaz was a Talmud of Yaakov. Oni Choshev Kmeis. So Avishai convinced David, in essence, it doesn't mean your children are going to die. It means they'll be poor. And being poor in those days means to sell wax. Why is selling wax an example, whatever it means, it means? Okay, I'm sure there's a lot of symbolism in this.
This was in Galicia, the same thing.
What is this? The
Galicia was famous for oil.
Yeah.
And all the, around the oil wells, there was the clay, was wax and clay that they used to make candles. And all the poor people, you know.
That's what they put, that was the Parnassa. So David, now I really try to figure, I don't have clarity in this, but I do the best I can to try to figure this out, but doesn't tell us the conversation, but David, at the end of the conversation, agreed. And he said, you're right, I made a mistake. Why in this instance? Because Klal Yisrael needed David. I guess Klal Yisrael was in a state, in its early state of development, and they needed a leader like David to guide them. If David would die, then who knows what would be for Klal Yisrael. So Avishai convinced David that he made the wrong decision. His children would not die. It just means they would sell wax, whatever that means exactly. And David said, you're right. And then when David was still suspended in Shemayim, he was mispala. He prayed to Hashem, I made the wrong decision. Please, I want to be mataneder. I want to reverse my decision. I want to pray that I should not be delivered in the hands of my enemies, and my children, whatever will be. So Hashem accepted his prayer, and miraculously they escaped. A whole long story, not for now, a whole long story, and they miraculously escaped. That is the maisa of the Yishbi Benoiv. Now his name was really, why is the word Noiv attached to it? Because his name really wasn't Noiv, his name was Yishbi. The reason why the Pasuk calls him Yishbi Benoiv is because he was the enemy that was selected to prevail upon David and kill him as a punishment for
the incident, many incidents.
But the climax of Noiv Ir HaKoyan, the death of all of these holy people, including Shaul and his children, and the aftermath, the collateral damage of the Givoinim who had no Parnassah. And he was the one that got a hold of him. Avishai came to his rescue, and they had this conversation. He had a choice. And that's it. So here, David over here in this Mizmar, that's the basic background. Okay, I can read you this whole thing over here, but I think we did enough justice to this. It's in Shmuel Perek Chaf. The beginning of Perek Chaf describes the Givonim, the story of the Givonim. I'll tell you the Russian clock in here. Shmuel Beis.
Specifically, he refers to
Chaf
Aleph
as Zion. Sorry, Chaf Aleph. Shmuel Beis. Perek Chaf Aleph, Pasuk Tezayin. I'll just begin the Rosh Hashanah. The beginning of the Perek begins by Hero of Bimei David. Shaloi Shanim Shana Achare Shana Vivakesh David Eskine Hashem. Why is there a famine? Why is there a famine? So Hashem said, you know what? Ayomer Hashem, you know why? It's El Shaul, the El Beis Hadamim, Al Asher Hemis Es HaGivonim. That's the Hakhtama. It's because the Shaul is gone. And Noiv, Ir, HaKoyhanim, they're all gone. And as collateral damage, the Givonim, who were going, these were appeared to be non-Jews. You want to say they were Jews, the whole Shaila, did they convert, they tricked Moshe, they tricked Yahushua. Okay, well, that's a different problem, but they were not the mainstream of Jews. And they lost their Parnassah, and it calls them Asher Hinis Es HaGivonim. When you take away someone's Parnassah, the Pasuk describes it here as death. He misses HaGivonim. It's a very serious matter. very serious matter to do not.
Didn't the Gevinah trick Klaisel?
Right, so the different groups, the Gevinah, the times of Moshe and Yoshua. Yoshua, they disguised themselves, they were Canaanim, and they disguised themselves as people that were from a different country, and they made a peace treaty. And then it was discovered they really were, Canaanim, and they really, al pi halacha, they have to leave the land, or they have to convert. And the Iker Hadin, Yehoshua was entitled to kill them all, but because it would not go off well in the United Nations, what?
They
swore it was a shvuah, but it was a shvuah. But it was a mistaken shvuah, a tallis. So the Iker Hadin, the shvuah is not chal, but it would not go off well in mainstream media. In mainstream media, it would not go off well. The PVC, nothing more. Things change. The more they stay the same. The truth was, the MS is the MS. But the mainstream media had a way of manipulating the truth and presenting it in a very bad light. And therefore, Yehoshua felt that the best thing in this situation was, okay, let them stay. Did they convert? Doesn't seem like they converted. I don't know if they converted. Some say they did convert, didn't convert. But Yehoshua did punish them to a degree, and he assigned them to be water carriers and wood choppers. He put them in charge of this, and therefore it's amazing how the Midas Hadin, these people don't belong here altogether. These are Canaan. They should have left the land. They did a terrible avera by tricking Yehoshua into being allowed to stay Shaloi Kedem. Mainstream media spun the story, this corruption from beginning to end. But the bottom line is, the way it stands now is they're living in the land and they have parnasa. And because David was involved in some event that he was not, no fault of his own, and Shaul got all worked up, and he wiped out Noiv Irak Rehanim, and these people, as collateral damage, now didn't have parnasa. People that don't belong here to begin with. People that have committed a crime by tricking the Gadol Hadar, Yehoshua. And then they've been assigned to supply water and chop wood for a city, and then the city was killed for nothing to do with anyone, and now they lost their parnasa. And who's to blame for all this? David? Shocking of how far the Midas Hadin goes. And because of this, there was a famine for 3 years, Shana Achar Shana, for taking away the parnasa of people. Isn't that a scary thing? Because in the news today, you're talking about, it's the economy, stupid, right? You're talking about the role of a head of state. Head of state, the most important thing head of state is to make sure people have parnasa. Now, isn't that what politics is always about? It's always the economy. It's always the economy. And when you do things irresponsibly way to take away, to deny people the ability to make parnasa, no, that's a very serious thing. That's not something you take lightly. That's not something, and over here, look what's going on over here. And so therefore, what did David do? What was the response? So the response was, I mean, this whole thing is one of those difficult parakim in Tanakh. Vayikra ha-melech la-givaynim, David called to the givaynim, va-givaynim lo-mim ve-yisholim, but they're not Jews. Ki miyesel ho-emayri, they are goyim from the nation of the emayriim. Uvnei shol nishru lachem vayivakish, they swore to them, they're not going to kill them, it was a trick. He goes on over here. They said, we want blood. Now you know why Hashem told us, make sure you wipe out the Canaan. Look at the needless of these people. We don't want money. Hand over 7 descendants of Shaul, and we will execute them out of revenge. V'hoika'anum la'Hashem b'giva Shaul b'chir Hashem. Okay, now you know why Hashem said, when you come into Eretz Yisrael, have no mercy on these people. These people are a curse to the world. People who have such midos, And we don't want money, we don't want reparations, we want blood. We want the descendants of this person. Torah says, lo yumsu, of us a clear violation of the halacha.
Why shiva? Because Hashem ha-shvu'ah. Shiva v'shvu'ah.
Shiva, you say, why seven? Seven, he's saying, because of shvu'ah. Interesting, very good.
Be'er sheva, okay, kisham nishba.
Kisham nishba, seven for seven, tit for tat. This is what they wanted, and what's even more shocking is, Vayomer HaMelech Ani Etein. Try to explain that pasuk.
Wow.
Try to this pasuk, find the most difficult pasuk in the whole Tanakh. Vayomer Ani Etein, okay. I'm going to take seven innocent people. Okay, Lo Yumsu Avos Al Bonim. Uvanim Lo Yumsu Al Avos. Okay, this is a very, very difficult, and then goes on and on. And then after you go few more psukim, and then after all this happens, Hashem says, okay, David, you know, this whole thing did not play out well in Shemayim, and there's a complaint against you, and you're going to have to bear the consequence of what has just happened, this whole story. I'm giving you a choice. Either you're going to die also for this, or your children will cease to exist. So David, all this, all that, what I just told you is not in the psukim, that's all in Chazal. And then comes Pasuk Tesavav. Parsha Stuma. Vatehi oid milchama. David said, okay, Hashem, I'll die. Better I should die than my children should suffer. Vatehi oid milchama la Pelishtim es Yisrael. Vayere David vavadav ilo vayirochamu es Pelishtim vayoaf David. And David was weak. David suffered a moment of weakness. Vyishbi vinoiv. Asher Bilidei Horafa, this individual whose name was Yishbi Benoit, he was a child of Horafa. Horafa is Orpa.
Yes.
She had a name change. When she left Naomi, when she left them, she went to the state and she filed for a name change because she was no longer, she went back to the Avodas Gilulin. Bilidei Horafa, a child of Orpa. Umishkal Keno, and this soldier.
It's quite a story, actually, for mature audiences, but found it
in Ruth Rabba. Horofa, what it says. I saw what it says over here. Okay, she went back. She became a Zoyna. A Zoyna, and it's very graphic what it says, why her name was Horofa. Umishkal keinoi shleish meos mishkal nechoshes v'uchagur kodosha. Okay, he goes on to describe what happened. Vayimal hakoyes David vayazloya. So David went and he was weak, and David was, the Chazal tell us, he was captured. He was captured. He was a prisoner of war, a POW, and they took him into the land of Pelishtim. They interrogated him for all the state secrets. They tortured him, and now they're done with him. Now time came to execute him. They were about to kill him. They threw him up. He was about to come down, land on the sword. And guess who shows up? Right in the nick of time. Vayazor loy Avishai ben Tsuruya. He shows up. Avishai shows up. And Avishai rescues David. Vayach es ha-Pelishti vayimiseyu. Avishai kills a Yishbi benoiv. Oz, and that was a change, that was a critical moment in David's malchus. And that moment in time, they decided David will no longer go out to war. David will no longer fight battles. David is under house arrest. He will remain in the Pentagon, plan the wars, but he will not be a warrior. Oz nishvu'u anshe David loy lemar, loy seitse oid itanu la milchama. Okay, the Neri Yisrael David no longer will never come to a matzav of a sakana. Now here, okay, I'm not going to do that, but look over here on the page over here. You see this whole page over here? The Mamori Chazal, it goes to, that's all it says, the Dham, it's all the Torah says that Yisrael would have finished. It's all it says in Shmuel. What's going on behind the scenes? I summarized for you in the first 10 minutes. Everything that it says over here in this there, the Masha whole page, it's all in the Gemara and Masechta Soita and Masechta Sanhedrin. The bulk is Masechta Sanhedrin and Daf Tzadi Hey Amud Aleph. It goes through all the details, and you can imagine this. Not every word of the Gemara is crystal clear. It requires a lot of commentary, a lot of mafarshim, exactly what it means. But I gave you the basic gist. And the basic gist, the Rashi over here explains over here, is that David was in trouble because of this Maisa with Noemi Yerachmihanim, and he made a decision that he would die al Kiddush Hashem and let his children be successful in exchange. And when he was about to die, his nephew shows up and says, David, I'm telling you, you made a mistake. Your children are not going to die. No, they'll be wax merchants. But you have to, Klal Yisrael needs you. And this is your moment. And David agreed. He was mispalel. And here in Mizmor Zayin, according to Rashi, the Oimer Ani, Rashi says, when it says Shigoyon to David, David made a mistake. The mistake was Asher Shorla Hashem Al Divrei regarding. See, the word Al Divrei, that's what really is brought in Rashi. Al Divrei means regarding the matter of Chush Ben Yemini. Shol, the death of Shol, the death of Noivir Akrihanim, the death of the problem of the Givonim and the seven sons of Shol. David was in trouble in Shemayim, the Midas Hadin was against him for being the catalyst of this horrible incident. And David made a decision. His decision was that he should die. David now realized he made a mistake. He should not ask Hashem. Person should never ask to die, no matter what. Are your children? I don't know. I don't know how all this works. This is way over my head, this type of stuff. What about Asher? It's either you or your children. So David says, it's going to be, let be my children. Hashem says, no, that's not what you do. You don't do that. You know, that's a technique they talk about. I don't know if you ever saw some television shows, Chassid Shalom, or read some novels, or even listened to the news lately. And this is a very elementary stuff. Is that the way on all of these spy movies is they take people and they say to them, do what we want. If you don't, we're going to kill your children. We have a network of spies and wicked people all over the world, and we're going to blackmail you by threatening to harm your children. This is the age-old ultimate form of blackmail. Do what we want. You better do what we want. We have an agenda, and this is what we want. And if you don't do what you want, we will harm your children. This is the foolproof method to blackmail. You can't go wrong with this method. This method always works. Isn't that exactly what Hashem did to David? Is that what Hashem did to David? David, it's either you or your children. So David says, okay, take my life. Don't touch my children. And Avishai says to David, no. Don't worry about your children, they'll be okay. I mean, this is a very powerful stuff, but this is the age-old form of blackmail. I mean, this is elementary. People think, listen to the news, there are some politicians that are making some outrageous decisions, and there are people openly say, did someone threaten, openly they say that, did someone threaten you? Did someone threaten your children? Is this why you're making a decision here, which makes no sense? What's going on here? Did someone? No one knows, and here you have such a situation. It's either you or your children. And David says the natural thing that a father would say, take me, don't harm my children. And Avishai says, David, you made a mistake. Unbelievable. And David now acknowledges, I made a mistake. I made such a mistake. Now let's see Rashi, we have to go further. Read the Rashi, the Oimer Ani, I'm back over here on page 50. The Oimer Ani, Sha'amoroi al iske yishbi v'noif. Shebo Olav, why was Yishvi Benov successful in capturing David and torturing him? It's because Al Oinshoy Shel Shaul. It was because that Shaul died, was killed with his children, Noivi Rabbehanan. Kimoyeshe Perishu Rabbe Seinu, Shomar Loya Kadosh Baruch Hu, Al Yodicha. It's because of you, David, Nitrad Doyeko Adomi. Doyeko Adomi was one of David's warriors, one of his soldiers, and he was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. Tremendous Talmud Chacham, and he was jealous, very jealous of David. And because of his jealousy, he couldn't control his jealousy, he supported Shaul and became a spy for Shaul and caused David enormous Agmas Nefesh, and ultimately that caused David to be driven out of the next world, to be punished. al yodcha, because of you, nerak shol, it's because of you that shol was killed in battle, uvonav and his children, k'nisa b'chelek, sh'neos David, sh'vakodesh baruch hu, so now neos amir means sh'neos, is that we have to inject an enormous amount of commentary, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm giving you a choice, either you or your children. And David selected, it was fitting, it was pleasant in the eyes of God, he should be the korban, not his children. Sheneois, David, it was fitting in his eyes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in response to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lihimaser, to be delivered, Biyad Soinei, in the hand of the enemy. Who is the enemy? The enemy here is Yishvi Benoiv, Velo Yichlezar, and not the other choice. And what happened? Avishai shows up and he says, David, no, you made a mistake. Vahafach David es tefilosoi. David made a 180. He changed his opinion. The Hispalel, he prayed, Shelo yipol biyad oyev. He should not die in the hands of Yishvi Benoiv. V'chein pisroinoi. And now with that background, we now can understand the interpretation of what it says here in the pasuk. Mishke, it was a mistake. Shor David, it was a mistake that David sang. Now we hear the word David sang, doesn't mean he sang, it really means he made a decision. It was a mistake that he made the decision. As I know it's a very funny translation to say the word Shor, which means a song, to say it means a decision. Shor David LaHashem Al Sheshagad Loimar. He made a mistake to say LaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Moshe B'Yad Oyev. Mishke Shor David over here. I take it back. He prayed to Hashem that Hashem should forgive him regarding the mistake he made. What was the mistake he made? Al Sheshor Shag. His mistake was Loimar Li Hakadosh Baruch Hu L'Moisroi, that he should be delivered Biyad Oyev. Al divrei Shaul shenerag al yodoi. Okay, that was, and he later changed his mind. Let me tell you the exact words over here. The critical part that's going to hear us. My boy Socha, the Omar Leah, this is really smacking the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Avishai, he saw David suspended after Avishai said the Shem Hashem. David was suspended in Shemayim. Avishai said, David, what are you doing here? How in the world did you get here? It's Ashkocha brothers, I showed up very last second. My boy is Hocha, Omar Lei. David said to Avishai, Hochi Omar Li Kudsho Brichu, the Hochi Ahadri Lei. You know what that means? That means Hashem gave me a choice. Either me or my children. And I decided me. Omar Lei. Avishai said to David, Apech tziloseich. Reverse your decision. Reverse your decision. Better bar biroch kiro lizboi. Better let your children, your bar biroch means your descendants, they should kiro means wax. Lizboi, they should sell wax. They should be paupers. Your children are not going to die. They'll be poor. Ani choshev kines. The at lo titztaer, and you should not feel pain. You should not suffer. Amale, David agreed. And it doesn't tell you the whole conversation. Obviously, this is a very big thing going on. Amale, ihachi, if that's the case, you're right. I need help. Help me. I'm suspended here in Shemayim. It's going to wear off. The Shem Hashem is going to wear off. I'm eventually going to fall down the sword. Amale, ihachi, sayan bahadan. Help me. So, okay, I'll help you. He takes out his sword Avishai and he kills Yishvi Benoiv and he wipes out Hayim Dursid, the next pasuk. Vayazor loy Avishai ben Tsruya. How did he help him? Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav Sha'azoroi Bisfila. He prayed. Omar Avishai Shein. Avishai said the Shem Hashem. Va'achte lo'oretz. He brought David safely down to the ground. Vechelu lachazor le'eretz Yisrael. Okay, they went back to Eretz Yisrael, and then the Gemara goes on to tell you that Avish that Yishvi Benoiv chased after them, and they got up and they killed them. Okay, so that's the story over here. That's the second parish, and then Rashi gives the third interpretation of the background to this Mizmar. is what we learned in the Mitzvah David. Dover Acher al Shigyon Kinaf Hamil. This everyone knows the story. David was running from Shaul, and Shaul went to sleep, and David snuck into Shaul's camp. They were all in a deep sleep, and David cut off the corner of the garment. We discussed this yesterday, and because of that, he was punished. That when he was old, his clothing did not provide warmth. That's why they brought him Avishag Hashunamis, a sachoines, as to warm his body. And that was when the Maisa with Adonia ben Chagis misnase leimar ani emloich and hami ilasher. What?
So the first question of Rashi is back here. The whole parak is about Amen. What does that have to do with the
Kodesh? So we have to get to the end of the parak to see how Rashi will answer that question. You're asking an excellent question. If we're dealing over here with Yishmi Benoit, so what does this have to do with the nations of the world? So Rashi's like, I don't like the first shot. The first shot is Shol's dead. Shol died. Now no one's trying to kill me. So what does it have to do then with the Amen? And because I don't like that shot, I have a better shot. Really? So how does your shot do any better? Okay, excellent. We have to wait. I don't know the answer. We have to wait and see. Because maybe it's part of the end of this Gemara. The end of the Gemara, what we just said, they killed him. It doesn't say very much and much more. It just says Kimato, they ran away. And when they came, he ran after them. And they killed them. That's all it says. Kimata.
So it comes out, the brother killed him, that he killed all his competition.
All his cousins. See, Arpa, I guess what you have to say is that, see, according to Rashi's first interpretation, it was an internal battle. It was between Shaul and David. Who's going to be the king? It was internal. That's nothing to do with the nations of the world. According to this interpretation, we're dealing here with Yishvi Benoif, the Plishtim. The Yishvi Benoif, the Goliath. Goliath was from Gath. These are the Plishtim.
It was his cousin. It was David's cousin.
Oh. Not Jewish. I mean, you're right. It was David's cousin, but he wasn't Jewish. They don't represent the Jews. We're going back to the time of Rus. We're going back to Rus. Okay, so the Ace is also our cousin. The Yishvi Benoif was our cousins. But they're Goyim. So then they developed into representatives of the Umas Olam. So it's not a kasha. Later on, when it talks about the Umas Olam, obviously Yishvi Benoit was a representative of the Goyim, of the Umas Olam. Okay, and it talks about it a little bit more in the Gemara. We have to go look at the Gemara over here. And the Gemara says what happened. He ran back. They ran away. He mata Kubei. When they came to the place, the name of the place was Kubei, David said, David said to each other, "Kum bay, let's now kill him. He's chasing after us. Let's eliminate Yishvi Benoit." He mata to a place called Beitrei. Okay, that's the name of the place. They said, "Beitrei Gurion katlu la arye." They killed him in this place. They killed the lion. Yishvi Benoit. Amri lei zil ishtarach lo arpa ime bekivra ki ad kilu lei shmo di ime koch ashcheli ah the kadle and they killed him. Haylo sib ozi. All the little areas of the way they killed him, they told that arpa was dead. That was the beginning of the Gemara. The way they were able to kill Yishvi Benoit is by mentioning that the mother is dead, and they told this. He didn't know that, but that happened before, right? In the beginning of the Gemara, and they told him that his mother is dead. They what? A mother is dead, he became weak. And at that weak moment, David and Avishai were able to overcome Yishvi Benoit and kill him. Okay, so it doesn't say much more, so I'm assuming that Meir, your question is that later on in the Mizmor, it talks about the Goyim, we have to see Rashi there, maybe Rashi says something over there, is that we're dealing with the Umay Soilam, the Plishtim were enemy number one in the time of David, and they were funded like Hezbollah. Okay, who funds his Baal? Ram and other enemies. They say these are just puppets. Okay, the Palishtim are just puppets of the Umay Soilam who hate us. So when it mentions later on that Kadosh Baruch Hu saved Dov from the Umos Olam, it means like today. Today, who funds all the terrorist organizations? It's the Umos Olam. They don't have any paranoia on their own. Let's finish up. Let's go. So we did with the next one. We discussed yesterday. Kush, Ma Kush is Meshuna BeOroi. Af Shaul Meshuna BeMasav. Shaul was the greatest of the great. Mishichmoy Ulamala. There was no one like Shaul. It means nice and tovin. There's no one like Shaul. Poirek, you go to Machlokes. What does it mean, Poirek? It's a very important ayam. These little nuances make a world of a difference. Okay, we learn in the afternoon. Everyone wants to join us. So we learn in the afternoon. We learn Unkelos, Rashi and Unkelos in the afternoon on Zoom. And we find these amazing differences, very small differences between Unkelos and Rashi in translating simple words. And it makes a world of a difference. We use the Sefer Ma'at Sari. He has koyach of bringing out, like we learned this week's parasha, it says, V'ata al te'otzvu. What does it mean? Yosef said to his brothers, al te'otzvu. So ordinarily, what does it mean? It means don't be sad. Right? It's avon. But Uncle says it doesn't mean sad. It means don't have pain. It's a very big difference between being sad and pain. Two very different, and we learn it brings out what exactly was happening between Yosef. There's a major machlek, and Uncle and Rashi, what exactly was happening when V'lo yochol Yosef lehisapak l'chol echav v'yitzir kol ishmei aloi. Was Yosef having a meltdown? Or no? Yosef was in control. It was the brothers who were having the meltdown. And it's amazing to see how there's the consistency in the translation of Rashi versus Unkelos, and it's a very, very fine point. Here you have the word poireik. What does it mean, poireik? Poireik, the ein matzil, doesn't mean to break. He takes out of you, break it, like matzil, yachatz. Yachatz? Or does it mean, no, I'm not breaking anything. I'm not breaking. It's a retirement. You have an airplane, you know, it still works. You have a fighter jet. It works. You just put it away in the museum. You retire it. It's a retirement. Pirate. You remove it from service. It works. It works. Just we have better things today. It works. Or does it mean no? It's broken. It goes to the junkyard.
Take off or break.
Okay, it's a very big difference in how you translate the word pirate, the imatzil, to break or to retire, to remove, to take down. Pasik Dalit, Hashem Elokai, then we do this pasal, Hashem Elokai Masisi Zos in Yesh Ovel Bihapoi. So let's review this pasik. Did I really do anything wrong, Hashem? Again, we have all the three perish, we're not gonna go through all three each pasik, I'm gonna talk about look at very quickly. Imasisi imkeshasisi azois lichrois the mitsudais is lishitasai. The mitsudais says we're only dealing with the story of David cutting off the tzitzis of Shaul. When I cut off the corner of his garment, did I really have kavana? David's trying to defend himself. This is a very interesting concept. Because a person commits a crime, you know, you see this very often, and 99% of the time it doesn't work. I just did this past Shabbos. I said something to someone I did a crime this Shabbos. I said something to someone, and it wasn't the right thing. It was a very big slip. So I apologize. I apologize on Sunday. So there are two ways to apologize. You can just say, I'm guilty. I said something that, that's it. Then you can say, you know why? I'm guilty, but don't have time to me. The reason why I said you have to understand where I'm coming from, my background. I was in this situation and it triggered this thing. And you try to legitimize, justify, I'm guilty, but don't come down upon me with your full wrath. Understand how I made this mistake.
Guilty with an explanation.
Does that really work? Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. 95% of the time I find it doesn't work. The best thing is, I'm guilty. Punish me. I deserve to be punished. I'm guilty. You try to give an explanation and to minimize, it doesn't always work. It doesn't, it gives you the appearance that I'm not guilty. don't have time to sign it. So over here, we got a problem here. Because David, in the beginning of this Mizmor here, he says, Shigo Yom David, I made a mistake. I'm guilty. Mitzvah's up. What's the mistake? I cut off the tzitzis of the king of the Jewish people. Oh, chutzpah. Serious business. You go, I mean, the cloak of Malchus.
It's punishable right there.
Okay, what?
It's punishable right there.
Yeah. Okay, this is, you go and you cut the cloak of the Melech. I'm guilty. Shigo Yom David. Shigo Yom. I made a mistake. And then David says, I'm not really guilty. Hashem Elokai. Im Asisi Zois. Im Yesh Ovel B'chapoi. If I did this, am I really guilty? You know I didn't really mean it. You know, what do you want from me? I saved his life. Mitzudois. Mitzudas David. Im Asisi. Im Kish Asisi Ezos. Lichweis Knaf Mi'il Shol. Im Yesh Ovel B'chapoi. Ha'im Asisiv La'sois Ovel V'azoisoi. I didn't try to be mevaze him. Lahamido milubosh meil karua kiderech hapichusin. Did I try to be mevaze? I didn't try. I did it because of the circumstances. So what is it? You can't have both ways. Are you guilty or not guilty? First you say you're guilty. Then you say I didn't really mean to do anything to him. So I'm saying you're not guilty. What are you? Make up your mind. Okay. So this is something you know. We all struggle with this. Okay, we all struggle. Sometimes you want to say, I'm guilty. But I don't want you to be mad at me. I'm not guilty. You're juggling something over here. And over here, it's one thing that someone like me, you know, it's worthless. David HaMelech, it's in print, it's in Sifrei Tanakh. It's very holy. It needs this human psychology. The greatest, David was the greatest psychologist who ever lived. David wrote Tehillim. Okay, this is he's the heart of Klal Yisrael, the emotion, the prayers of Klal Yisrael. He's coming over here to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to beg him, to speak to him. And in one day he says, Chotasi, Chotasi, Chotasi. But it's not Cheney. I didn't do anything wrong. You got to understand the circumstances. Okay, it's a juggling act. Pasik, what is Rashi? Rashi says, Im Asid Nenevi. When you learn, just remember Rashi, it's just Rashi, it's two Perushim. So the Rashi is going to be very confusing because it's Rashi going back to parish number one, parish number two, or parish number three. Is it the Kanaf? Is it Yishvi Benoiv? Or is it number one was the death of Shaul, but he was very happy. Oh, Baruch Hashem, Shaul is dead. Number two was Yishvi Benoiv. Number three was the Kanaf. So everything that Rashi is going to sing after the rest of the parish, you know, we're going to get a little bit confused. What does Rashi has to carry through this parish? So Rashi is trying to protect him. Let's go to the next pasuk. So let's go. Pasuk hey. Im gamalti shiloi mi ra. Did I pay back my friend ra? Vachalit sot soroi reikam. Did I deny my enemy, or did I leave him with nothing? Let's see a more precise translation. Did I release him with nothing? Look in the Mitzudas David, Pasuk Hey, Im Gamalti Ba'oid Shal Yashal Ish Shalaymi. When it says the word Shalaymi, means my friend. This is a very common expression. Ish Shalaymi. It means your best friend. A person with whom you are at peace with. There is Shalaymi between me and this person. Some people are your enemies. A Soine is an enemy. Who is a friend? A Rea? Is that called a friend? No. That's not the opposite. A Rea is an acquaintance. A rea, if there's something called a sone, then a person who's your friend is an ish shilomi. A person.
It's not shilomi,
shilomi.
He tried to pay me back.
Did I? I didn't try to pay him back. Now, but the word shilomi normally means a friend. Look at the Mitzudas David. Im Gomaldi, did I pay back a person who I am at peace with? Be'oi Shahoya Shaul Ish Shiloimi. Shaul is an Ish of peace. V'chi Gimaltiv Oz Ra Tachas Toiva. Did I pay him back Ra Tachas Toiva? Ka'asher Choshav. Who? Sha'ani lo le'oyev. Did he think that I'm his enemy? Let's read a little further to explain more, to get a better picture of what he's trying to say. V'achalitza. The word v'achalitza means to release. Okay? Chalitzas ha'no'al. To release the shoe from the foot. Ha'aloi. Is it not correct? After eishu ha'yitzar olai lirdoif acharai b'chinam aloi chamos. Although that Shaul was disturbed. And it entered into him a ruach ra. And that triggered him the need to chase after me for no good reason. Yokro oy nafsha be'enai. Nevertheless, his neshama was very precious, was very valuable in my eyes. V'hoytzeisiv min hamisa. I saved him from death. I released him from death. Ki hitzaltiv miyad enoshai. My people, my soldiers, they wanted to kill him. My souls wanted to kill him. Asher bigshu lahor goy to kill him. Kemoshe ne'emar b'Shmuel uva ucho oimer. Now let's take the pasuk in its entirety and get a more of a flavor. This is a very good word in the Mitzvos. This, what does the pasuk really mean to say? Hinei, bavur zeh. That's why korati mi iloy lohidiyos esos, to make note in this shahoya masu biyodi, that I could have killed him. Veloy sholachti boyor, I did not touch him. So go back to read the pasuk one more time. In gomalti sholmi ra, was I mishalein? That's the dangerous word, because that's the word sholmi. Gomalti, did I pay back ra evil for good? Sholmi, the person with whom I view to be a good person. And I'm mistaken, that's what the Mitzvot over here is saying, is that although Shaul viewed me as being an enemy, I viewed Shaul as being a friend. I never took what he did to me personally. I viewed him to be a good person. Therefore, if I would have killed him, if I would have caused him harm, it would have been in my book, Mishalim Ro'o Hachas Toiva. Because a friend is all good. And if you are harm, if you are nasty to your friend, that's called you are mishalim, you are paying, ro'o tachas. Someone does you a favor, and in response, you do them an avo. I did not look at Shaul as being an enemy. I view him as being my Rebbe, he was my father-in-law, he married his daughter, Michal, he was his Rebbe, he was the Melech. Alamilas, he called him father when he died in his masbin, and he called him Avi Avi. He called him father. He was a father, he was a father-in-law, he was a friend, he was the king, he was his Rebbe, his mentor, every nice thing you can possibly say. So for me to go and harm him would be a violation of Mishalim Ro'o Tachas Tova. Did I do that? Did I pay back a person who I considered to be at peace with me? Ro? Of course not. V'chalitza. In fact, you know what I did? I released Tzoriroi Reikom. I don't get that clear. How do you mean Reikom? We're talking about Bechina. I let him go, my enemy. I released him from death, Tzoriroi, the one that was trying to bring upon me death, with nothing. Reikom means I did not take revenge. I was entitled, if I wanted, to allow my soldiers to kill him. But no, I told them, Reikom, nothing. I released this person, Shaul, who is trying to cause me tzar. He's trying to cause me pain. So we read, the one that's trying to bring upon me pain, I released him for free, no charge. Ordinarily, when a person causes you tzar, there's a price to pay. You want to cause me pain? For every ounce of pain you cause me, it's going to cost you a lot of money, millions of dollars. I let him cause me pain for free. It's the biggest bargain. I released him. I released him from death, the person that caused me pain, for free, no charge. The only thing that I did was I cut off the corner of his garment to go and to show him I have no complaints against you. Don't make trouble with me. Let's see, Rashi, Im Gamalti Sholmi Ra. In Gimaltiv Kigmuloi, did I go and punish him like what he did to me? So how does Rashi attach the word sholi?
Sholi ra. It's not sholi by itself. It's sholi ra.
That's not what Rav and Matulis learns. Okay, Rav Kalman is teaching us, very important. Rav Kalman is teaching that Rashi learns that the two words Shomi Ra means it's Shaul. One term. It's the person who pays me evil. Someone delivers into my hands evil. It is expected for me to reciprocate with evil.
Because David did a lot of favors for Shaul. He killed Goliath, and he also
he married his daughter. He did the biggest favor. He married his daughter.
That's his father-in-law. So he should give me some.
I took your daughter off your hands. She was no easy customer.
Right. Absolutely.
She was no easy customer. Right. She let him have it. So if the same way she let him have it, she let her father have it, I took her off your hands. You owe me. Did I pay you back with Ra? No, I didn't. Okay? So, did I reciprocate? Gamalti basically means that I reciprocate with the person who paid me that Ra. So according to Rashi, it's very clear, Kamalti's enlightening us. So the word Shomi Ra is a very important term. It's a term which the two words go together, and it means the person who has paid me evil. Now you add the word before. Did I reciprocate and deliver into his hands the same evil? No, I did not. But according to the Mitzvahs, I don't think that's what it means. According to the Mitzvahs, I think he's translating the word Shomi. Shomi means the name of a friend. David considered Shaul to be his friend. Let's go back to the Mitzvahs very quickly. Im gomalti, ba'od shahoyo Shaul ish shilomi. You see, there's a machloikis here between the Mitzvahs David and Rashi as to the word sholimi. Is the word sholimi mean a friend, a person with whom there is peace? Or does the word sholimi, not a noun, it is a verb, and it is connected to the word ra. According to the Mitzvahs David, David says, look, I never had a bad attitude towards Shaul. Even though he drove me crazy, I always had the greatest respect for Shaul. I always considered him to be an Ish Sholomi. That's an expression, a very common expression. A man of peace, a man of my peace. We're good friends, we're one of a kind, two peas in a pot. And did I ever go and bring upon him harm? Even though he was nasty to me, never. According to Rashi, we're not defining the relationship over here. We're not defining the relationship. We're talking about there's a person who has done to me enormous harm. He was Shmishalim Li Ra. Did I reciprocate and take revenge? And be Goyimel? Goyimel always means to repay, to reciprocate? No! Chas v'sholem. Not only that, when this person who caused me so much pain, Tsar, and when he was in Sakana, I told my people, let him go free. Don't touch him. Let him go free. Raycom. I released him from my people, my enemies, who were willing to bring upon him enormous harm. Now, I read a very interesting account.
According to Rashi, Shomi Ra is equal to Shomi.
According to Rashi. Right. According to the parallelism. According to Rashi, this parallelism, the word Shalomi Ra is equivalent to the word Sorori. According to the Mitzudos, no. Sholomi is the name of a person. It's a noun. He is my friend. I have nothing problem with him. But he has done to me Ra, and I did not pay him back with Ra. Okay, it's a very interesting difference between Rashi and the Mitzudos as he types the word Sholomi. You know, sorry, with this idea, what the Mitzudos says that my people, he mentions the Mitzudos of Pesukim, is that the people, the David's camp, wanted to kill Shaul, and David had to restrain them. That's a very great sign of leadership. Why do I say that? I remember this journal, Kankan. They stopped publishing it. I'm very, very disappointed. I have a lot of Agnes Tefesh. It's such a good journal. There's amazing articles. And I remember the person just stopped for some reason. And they had this very fascinating analysis of the Churban, the Churban Yesheni. The Churban Yesheni. Something, you know, I didn't see anywhere else. I mean, basically, I don't know how he's getting this information from. I don't remember, I went very, very quickly, a little time ago, made from Josephus and other other accounts that he puts together, is that when they came to destroy the Bayis Sheni, Nevuzar Adan, he was very, very busy trying to not destroy it. This is what he claims. He came into the Beis HaMikdash and he did not want to destroy it. They murdered a million people. They murdered all the children. They murdered, they killed everyone. And they wanted to preserve the Beis HaMikdash as a museum or to make it into some type of Beis HaMikdash of Zara. And Nevuzar Adan, the chief executioner, Nevuzar Adan was the Bayis Rishon. What am I saying?
Right.
Nevuzar the Bayis Rishon. They're only the Titas. Mm-hmm. This is what he claims. I'm not making this up. This is in the journal Kankan, one of the more recent ones describing the Kumayi Sheni, that Titus tried its very best not to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. His people, his army, were barbarians. They were out of control. And he could not control them. And they just went and looted and torched and destroyed the Beis HaMikdash against his direct orders, not. And he, in fact, went into the inferno and tried to stop them from destroying the Beis HaMikdash.
I think you saw that cutting the...
That wasn't the destruction. That was the incredible chutzpah. He came into the Kodesh HaKodashim, he stabbed the Pareches, blood came out, he brought a Zoyna, there's something he put his own mother, into the Kodesh HaKodashim and relations with her. In the Kodesh HaKodashim, on a Sefer Torah. On a Sefer Torah. But that wasn't the Chorban, that wasn't, he didn't destroy it. That was just his attitude. And he wanted to preserve, you know, look at the treasure. Look at our success. Look at what we've accomplished. And his soldiers were out of control. They were just seized by insanity. And he tried his utmost in a very desperate attempt not to destroy it. He wanted to kill everyone, obviously. He wanted to preserve. And he couldn't control his officers. And it seems that this Admiral appreciated in battle, the koyach of a leader is not just to succeed in battle. The koyach of a leader is in call quits. When the general says, Ad kam hakofa alef, you stop. Go to shul. And when the gabbai says, Ad kam, you stop.
Sometimes
they just stop or they keep on going? Or are they very happy? They stopped a long time ago.
And you saw this where?
What?
Where did
Kan-kan.
Yeah,
Kanka.
I know what it says.
The Kanka El Mashi Yeshro. El Mashi Yeshro. Okay. And it was a real eye opener for me, but it's very, very, this principle is a very powerful principle, and I'm sure if you study, go to West Point and study war, the koyach of a general, a leader, is not just the koyach to go to war and to succeed and have a sophisticated battle plan strategy, but it's also the koyach of restraint. As when to tell the soldiers, Atan. When not to. That's what they say about Napoleon. I'm sorry.
Alexander
the Great. I know Rabbi Yossi said that he drunk himself to death, but I remember reading another account about Alexander the Great is that he conquered 90% of the world, and there was 10% more to conquer, and it's basically there I think his soldiers said, I can't, we don't want to go anymore. I can't. And if no, there's 10% more to go. In India, go further and further, and they have families. They want to go back to their wives and children. And he said, no, we'll go invite them. And he said, no, we're not. I have enough for
you guys.
And he killed them. They killed him. According to one guy, they poisoned him. And he gave an account of how he died.
The story is, it says he drank
it. Drank it to death. Because some said they poisoned him. The soldier was looking at him in there.
Yeah.
And why would they poison him? So they were, he wanted to go weiter, and the soldier says, enough already, I can't. We want to go back home already. We really want to what we have to accomplish. Whole enough already in this, Moshidas. So what do you learn from that? A koyach of a leader is control. And many times in leadership, things get out of control, and they take on a life of itself, and you can't stop it. This Mitzvah David is a very powerful revelation of the koyach of David. David was threatened. His people, their lives were on the line. Shaul, you wiped out Noiv Yerakohanim. Okay, that's serious stuff. Shaul wanted to kill David. Killing David killed all the people. David had a whole fan club. And now is their chance. They're sleeping. They're sound asleep. David goes in there, has a sword, he cuts off the tzitzis. The people there says, we're going to kill him. And that will end all of our problems. And they wanted to. And David had the koyach to tell his people, don't. That's gadlus. That's incredible koyach. To listen to the king. David wasn't even a king. David didn't have the stature of a king because he was being pursued. And the soldiers whose lives are on the line, and this would put an end to all of their problems as well, they actually listened to David. They were restrained. That's not so simple. Study history. Study military battles. The koyach of a leader to be able to tell when to stop, that's godless. That's true leadership.
All right. The Rabbah says exactly like Rashi, even more clearer. He says it in Gamarti Shomira. The Moshe who ose imi.
He's Meshalein Lira. He's a Meshalein Li.
Hayiti b'shalom imo. But I was in peace. In Gamarti Ra, the Moshe who ose imi. Shahayiti b'shalom imo. Vehayiti chatano. Venilchamti milchamtav. Vehu gomer li ra'a tachat tova.
Exactly. Okay.
But Joel felt that David was a tremendous threat to him. So David is saying, you know, I didn't do anything wrong to him. I'm sure Joel did not feel that way.
He David speaks to Hashem. David, but David over here is speaking to Hashem. Very, Joel, you can do whatever you want. David over here is addressing him. This is only a candle to Hashem. David over here obviously feels he didn't tear him out there. But Chazal say he did. Chazal say that because of what he did, that's when he was punished later in his life. So David was coming to confess, coming to his father. So David's saying, listen, don't come down hard on me, Hashem. Understand where I'm coming from. So he's speaking to Hashem. Yeah, Shaul can do all he wants. And it shows not here to David. All right, I have to stop over here. It's late. After the break, I want to spend some time about Kriya Shema. Okay, Hagi Kriya Shema.
But you'll,